Be seated for a moment. Good afternoon. What an awesome praise. I don't have much to say this afternoon. Thank you. I don't have much to say. I'll preach tomorrow night. God has instructed me to just prophesy. And then we reverend do the ordination. But I've got two scriptures for you. People ask me, how do you respond to all the things said and not said? In February, it's going to be 15 years that I've been in this nation. 15. In those 15 years, and that, all I want to tell you this morning is to just make a decision. I'm not looking for what others are looking for. Our want and desire in life, mine, is very different. In those 15 years, I've proven that life does not consist in what a person holds. So I hold nothing. Not a house, not a car. 15 years. But there's one thing you can't take away from me. I own a generation. That's clear. That's what the world wants to fight. And say, no one should own a generation, is too much. But you and I paid the price. Please, don't come report any of my sons and daughter to me. Because you also have children. And I'm not sure how great they've behaved all life long. These are 1,000 kids who have the right to misbehave. Thank you, sir. And God gives them the opportunity to misbehave if they do, when they do, so that they can understand what fatherhood really means. I want you to look at the failure of our government and media. Look at how many, forget about stabbings now. Let's talk about how many people will live and die under oppression in a city that has riches. On that great final day, God is going to look at every one of us and he's not going to ask you how well you behaved. He's going to ask you how many lives you changed. And there is no distance between today and that day. It may look long, but I want those of you who are older to think about when you were 20. If you are 60 now or above, I want you to think about when you were 20 years old. Did it not feel like yesterday? There's no distance in time. And so, we all have come to this threshold, and God told me to prophesy this morning to let you see. Next week, Sunday, is titled 2020. To let you see what God is commissioning into your hand. To let you see that there's no other way forward for your generation and the one behind you without you. And I understand that Satan, this week alone, I've taken two major charms of people. I'm not making altar call, it's coming to me. People who, real ones now. I've taken it off. Now I've said to the devil, do your worst. Everything has consequences. I understand. When people were coming to drop knives and all that, I know it has consequence. I understand it. But I want to ask you two questions. One question from the same scripture this afternoon. Because it's always going to be a question of how far we want to go. I don't want to preach. Like I said, I'll do that tomorrow night. I continuously question myself. So what I want to do is to just speak to you. I continuously question myself. And as you go home, I want you to ask yourself this question and make sure if you are not able to answer it or to believe my answer, don't come back. And I know I've asked this question before. What is church for? What is it for? This morning, at least 1,000, that's to not exaggerate, churches are meeting everywhere. My question to you is, what for? Why do we give? Why do we do the things that we do? What is it for? I grew up in a pastor's house. My dad is still pastoring and he's doing well. And my question is, what is this about? We do church to worship God. Why can't you do that in your room? And I found one of the answers for this course, Ephesians chapter 3. For this course, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. God was actually looking for a family, not a religious gathering. He says what he has in heaven is a family. The order of God is family. It is not position. Whatever you do, business or whatever, if it is not family, why is Spark Nation under attack? It is easy for the sister next to you to go tell your secret on internet tomorrow because you brought them into the family. You told them to come to your houses. You gave them food. Your life was not hidden to anyone. So it's easy to talk about that because it's a family. So you know what the devil wants us to do now? Break the bond of family and become a church as neutralized as others. I'd rather die. Because the moment it is no longer the family in heaven and on earth, then it's no longer needed. Scripture.
Then war broke out in heaven.
I want you to look at this. It said, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of the family in heaven. So war broke out in heaven. This is war in the family. This is a family matter. Because it is to the family of God. Talk to me now. In heaven and on earth. The moment you move towards something without a family, you're finished. You know, the initial state of things look exciting. We're doing this, we're doing that. I'm like, where's the family behind this? So there's no family. I'm just going to... So that's what the world does. In fact, in the world, they separate families. So the father has gone out to work. Yeah? If the father is still there, the mom is doing two jobs to pay the bills. Now the daughter or son gets familied by television. Isn't it what they do in the world? And for them, that's okay. And say, so, well, you separate people from family. Said, so they didn't have families. There was no family there. There was no family. The mom does not even know what the daughter is up to. And that's not saying that the mom is not good. It's just that she doesn't have time. In an economy that makes you pay more tax than your salary sometimes. So who becomes the family of the next generation? Instagram. Then war broke out in heaven.
Michael and his angels fought.
The reason why God gives names is so that people know their position in a family. Michael and his angels fought. It wasn't God that fought. It was Michael, the archangel. It's more like saying Sam and his angels fought, or Dami and his angels fought, or Obi and COD fought when war broke out in this family. So we are nobody compared to God. If war broke out in his family, war is allowed in our family. Otherwise, you don't know who the family members are. Are you listening to me? Then war broke out in heaven in that family, and Michael and his angels fought.
Fought against the dragon.
Now, this dragon was part of the family. But he had always been a dragon. And God had always known this dragon. So listen, don't you know that if this dragon was chased out of a family, now that he has lost, he will be looking for a family. And his assignment forever will be to discredit the family he's coming from so that he can form his own family. Satan is desperate for a family. And guess what? He will never get it. Because he doesn't know, he doesn't have what it takes. In a family, you tolerate each other. In a family, imagine I'm talking to a 60-year-old man who still was angry with somebody else because of what somebody else says. I said, those are things you do as teenagers. You really think someone would really tell you the truth of what someone said verbatim and not add things? Come on, man. That's children's stuff. But anyway, Michael and his angels fought and the dragon,
And the dragon and his angels.
It doesn't matter if God is in charge or not, the dragon fights. And when he fights, he would have his angels. The dragon fights. And don't even let us deceive ourselves that the fight of the dragon will not affect us. You are the only major prophetic voice in this city right now. In the city of London, in United Kingdom, you are the only voice that can stand and declare what God is saying over a nation and not fear. You know why? Because you're young and naive. And God says, stay naive. Otherwise, he won't find anyone to send. God looks at his family on earth and says, who can speak for me? And all the pastors says, I can't speak because if Charity Commission knows, I can't speak because I don't want nobody putting my name on social media. I can't speak. But God has found the people in his family that are fearless, that have heaven's mandate. Are they there? Are they here this morning? God has found a family. This is the family. Yes, I've never asked God for a big church. So if he makes us big, that's his own issue. I've never asked for the cooperation of everybody. No. We have to cooperate with heavens. What is heaven saying in an old generation that is locked up? Locked up in the cage of strange family. So the kids that are not raised in it. And can you blame parents for not raising the family? Apart from the fact that they have work to do, they also were not part of a family. Look, growing up with a disciplinarian father does not mean you are in a family. He just beats us all the time. We didn't even know why. Anyway, so this war broke out.
And the dragon and his angels fought back.
Yeah, they fought back,
But he was not strong enough. And they lost their place in heaven.
He was not strong enough. If he was strong enough, he would have overcome, right? Yes, so that's my message for you this morning. Be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. So that you may be able to withstand when the evil days have come. When Michael fought, there was a backlash. And the backlash will always be a battle. It will affect your finance. It will affect your numbers. It will affect everything. But that's the dragon fighting back. There is no way Satan is going to fold his end and see 200 knives surrendered and just go home smiling. And see people assigned for death and just say, that's fine. No, it's not fine. It's going to fight back. But it will not be strong enough. You see, that's the problem with him. He has never been strong enough. It will never be strong enough. So God's told me to tell you this morning, what will happen from this season is divine multiplication for you. Yeah. War was the test for removal. Satan convinced God's angels. They remember the word angels. These are like perfect beings. He convinced them to fight against God for him. Who are we? Who are we not to have that? So whilst you're there thinking about people's behavior, I want you to know you are being recruited for Satan's war against God. What does Christ's behavior matter compared to the two knives surrendered on the altar? Only a living person can behave. What does your behavior matter to a knife that could have killed one person? May God forbid that you lose a loved person in your family. Listen, the pain of it is eternal. Those are lives. What does it matter what Henry did or did not do compared to, forget about knives now, a life that is inspired? Satan don't care about behavior. His job is to accuse. It's called the accuser of the brethren. He fights. So I'm not going to try to answer. We wanted to do that today. All the questions the media people asked us. You know the truth. I will speak anyhow I like. I will respond anyhow. We're going to run church the way God asks us to. And that will be with no recourse to anybody or any institution. Simple. So please, don't let's be silly. It is not a game. It is not a celebrity thing. It is a life matter. It is not how many people attended service thing. It is a church of influence and a people of impact to the nations. That's what this is. The moment we have no more voice in the nation, then there is no need for another church. There are many. So I've asked the first question. What is it for? What is church for? Now, this is what God then calls us to do, Philippians chapter 4. So I've used that to establish the fact that there will be war, and war is war. You just got to imagine a TV asking me, you know, no, not even TV, like a council. This is the most appalling, disappointing. If a council writes a letter and there are spelling mistakes, you will realize that it is just, you found a target to victimize at any little. So you can even ask your, if there are gate men, to just write the letter. And then you look at all the questions and say, really? So you didn't even have 10 minutes to research. 10. So if you're asking this morning and saying things like, oh, what did we do? Well, no, what did God do? Because his most loyal guy fought him. So cut that thing off. Don't bring that here. So you are the voice to the nations. It is not how many people are sitting here. It is the kind of people that are sitting. I heard Pastor Karen Kobe Jackson, and that's the first time I'm hearing her. So I'm actually sitting down saying, is there any sane person here? Like, what? Is Karen, right, Pastor Karen? I'm sitting there thinking, what are you talking about? Did you ever go through the legal system? You look to me like those good girls all life long. Huh? Wow, even your pastor is now saying you need to know a story. Meaning the one I've heard is not even. I see why the devil is afraid. If God opens your eyes this morning to see how the guy is shaking, the devil, he's afraid because he knows when you set your mind to do a thing, you will do it. The combination of people in this house, When you make up your mind to achieve something, he knows you will do it. So the only thing it is left with is discredit. If you can't touch a people, you have to discredit them. Our credit is not in our perfection. Listen, the day I come out and say we are all perfect, how? We don't need to be. We need to be in his perfect will. So be aware of the consequences of the world. It will shake you. It will fight you. It will take out of you Satan's angels. And remember, these angels were not evil people. They were just angels who did not keep their domain. I taught you that before, right? It is just leaving the place of assignment. What therefore is assignment? And I'll stop now. Philippians chapter 4. I told you I'll speak about giving, but that's not the giving of money. And listen, the world cannot come and teach me how we should give. It's not their place to tell us. Just like nobody should pressure you now to give. You should constantly be on the pressure of giving. So nobody needs to hurt to it. And in the world wanting us to apologize for teaching about seed. There's no way, no chance in hell. As long as the earth remains, talk to me, church. Seed time and harvest will never cease. As long as the earth is here. So when it comes to sowing, it has to be believing God. You grow down to grow up. In order to multiply, you have to have a higher number, right? Or the same at least. So that 2 times 2 can be 4. Real multiplication is coming to you because you will find Pastor Mark's like, who has his heart. Then multiplication will come. You'll find Pastor Dami's like. And you keep multiplying in that space. Paul says something here. Read from verse 13, please. Philippians 4.
I can do all this through him who gives me strength.
From verse 12, please.
I know.
Actually, from verse 10, sorry.
I rejoiced greatly in the Lord. That at last you renewed your concern for me.
I wanted to underline that word me there. The renewal of concern is not worries. Oh, Pastor, I'm just worried about you. He said, I'm much more worried about you. The renewal of concern, we will see what it is in a moment. That you renewed your concern for me, indeed.
Indeed, you were concerned.
But
you had no opportunity to show it.
What is the showing of concern? Text message? Nothing wrong with it, but we'll find out soon. Go on, please.
I am not saying this because I am in need. For I have learned to be content.
The apostle says, I've learned how to be content, meaning whatever I have is what I have. For I've learned to be content. What was Paul's purpose? Taking 1/4 of the world for Christ, a whole generation. Reshaping the religious landscape. This was what he was doing. So remember my first question. When we go to church, you must ask, what is this church for? What is this? What are we doing? And you know what you will hear? We are advancing the cause of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, the next church is doing it too. We might as well join them. If it is that vague, if it is that general, we're all doing that. But Paul had the gospel of grace to preach to a whole generation. This was why they were concerned for him. They were not concerned for his body as Paul. So when he used the word for your concern for me, it's about me now. This me is not the greedy me. It's not the car that I should drive or the house I want to live in. It is me, meaning what I stand for as Paul. When he caught me on the way to Damascus or wherever I was going to persecute Christians, he told me what to do. This is still what me represents in our generation, young people, to love God passionately and to be wealthy. This is me. This is our course. This is what we are called to do.
For I have learned to be content.
In whatever circumstance, verse 12.
I know what it is to be in need.
The apostle says, I understand what it means. You know that's a deep word, right? And someone say, I know what it means. Meaning I've experienced it. And all the generals must experience it. Otherwise, you're not generals yet. I know what it means to be in need.
And I know what it is to have plenty.
So all the generals must go through that as well. The balance of an apostle is need and plenty. It's not just need. So you can't just continuously define your life by need. So you see, as you see me, so I don't care about money. I don't have any. I've never had any. And I'm thankful to God because he's made me so. No. Paul says, I know what it means to be in need. And I know what it means to have plenty.
I have learned the secret.
But many of you, I hear some people say, well, you know, yeah, it's about time to know what it means to have plenty. I just heard someone's spirit say, yeah. Okay, yes, it's about time in Jesus' name. Now they are pretending as if that's not. No, I'm fine. Both is allowed. So in Jesus' name, actually, is your time for plenty. So you, because of giving, you've known what it means to be in need. Now you will know what it means to be in plenty. You know what I love about that scripture? The first was need. The latter was plenty. So I could almost see your religious mind say, no, it's okay. No. If you've been in need, now we will enter into the season of plenty. Can I hear an amen? I wish I can hear a louder amen. Actually, turn to your neighbor and say, it's a season of plenty. Because I know what it means to be in need. Now I will know what it means to what? And guess what? Guess what? You can define your own plenty. 100K can be plenty for someone. I say, that was need. No, you didn't hear me. I said, 100K can be plenty for somebody. And you can redefine it this morning. I said that was need. Because the following week I've paid all the bills and nothing was left. In the name of Jesus, Spark Nation, it is your time to be in plenty. I prophesy that in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout plenty. Yeah. Yeah. I know what it means to be in need. Thank you for putting comma there. Say, but it's not over. What I know is not just need. I also learn plenty. I just feel like prophesying on plenty. Has anyone got faith this morning? Plenty of favor. Plenty of victory. Yeah? Plenty of breakthrough. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Shout amen one more time. There shall be showers of blessing. This is a promise of Lord. There shall be seasons sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing. Mercy drop, mercy. Round us are falling. One more time. There shall be showers of blood. This is a promise of love. Sent from the Savior. Come on, Spark Nation, say, showers of blessing. Showers of blessing with mercy drop, round us are falling. This season for Spark Nation is going to be multiplication, it's going to be increase, it's going to be open doors, it's going to be financial favor. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, let the earth praise you, O God. It said, then the earth will yield. Don't say yes, I need a scripture. It said, let the people praise you, O God, and then the earth will yield. I'm prophesying this morning. The earth will, every seed you have sown, the earth will yield multiple fruit and harvest in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the season of harvest, the first thing God does is to remove the tears. God wants me to tell you this morning, in your business or in your family or in your church, the tears have been removed. That means you are entering into fruitfulness. No, wait. I'm not sure you're hearing me. You remember the scripture I read to you on Periscope? I think it's 2 Peter chapter 1. Yeah? 2 Peter chapter 1. It said that by these great and glorious promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. You know, we are about to enter into your divine nature. So the words that I'm saying, they are divine promises. Because God said, tell them, now you will enter into your season of multiplication. You will enter into your season. So those who are receiving it, what you are doing is you are entering into your divine nature. Listen to what God said to tell you. You will never again witness closed doors. No, I think you are too used to prophecies. You remember the word says, do not despise prophecies. There will be no more shut doors against you. The iron gates will lift before you. You will enter a season of multiplication. The Lord will settle you on every side. I beg of you, if you believe, shout amen 3 times now. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Yes, ma'am.
God be merciful to us. And bless us.
God be merciful to us. And then bless us.
And cause his face to shine
Malia
upon
katala
us.
Basiata. And grant his face to shine. Spark Nation. From today. God's face, are you listening to me? God's face will shine. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us.
That way may be that your way may be known on earth.
When God's face shines on you, people of the earth will know the ways of God because you are the one walking that way. And people will say, that's a way. I prophesy upon this house tonight. God's face will shine. Shine. Shine upon you. In the name of Jesus.
Your salvation among all nations.
That's a generation. God is holding on to you because of this generation. Nobody can do what you're doing for a whole generation. That's why nobody will be criticized like you. Because nobody can do it. It's as simple as that. Do you know, since I've been told about how I should behave in church, it's not today, it's like 10 years ago. And I'm saying, no chance in hell. After this life is over, I'm going to not face you. I'm going to face God and say, I did it my way, which is your way, his way. But now he says it will cause his face to shine upon you and bring you mercy, that the nations will see his salvation. That's why the story of your life is like it is. Go on, man.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Then what would happen?
Oh, let the nations be glad
and do
sing
what?
For joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all
Uh-huh.
Then the earth shall yield her increase.
Praise God. Let the people praise you, O God. So if the earth is not yielding increase in your business, do you hold the business and start complaining? You set a committee up for how people should come to church? No. It said, let the people praise you, O God. Let the people praise you. It stands correct to covenant. It said, then the earth will yield. I see the earth, it's yielding increase. So that's all you've got to do. Let the people praise you. Let the people praise you, O God. Then the earth, you'll see the kind of increase God begins to bring. He didn't say let BBC talk well about you or not talk well about you or let newspaper know. Let the people praise you. Let the people praise you, O God. Then the earth will yield their increase. Then what would happen again?
God,
our own God
shall
do.
Bless us.
I thought you'd just praise God anyway. The response of God to praise is increase. The response of man to shortcomings is complain. Praise. Praise. Praising the Lord for his good. Every little thing. When all that was left with Jesus was two loaves of bread and five fishes. The Bible says he looked up to God and said, Father, I thank you. And five loaves and two fish fed more than 5,000 people. The kind of increase coming to you, Spark Nation, is two loaves or five loaves and two fish. Are you listening to me? It's going to be grace and grace. Praise the Lord, you were right. Praise the Lord, let the earth. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father. And give him the glory. Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord,
praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord.
Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father. The Lord just showed me a vision. You see, hear this. I've seen mothers before, mothers, moms, protect their kids, shield them. These kids have done wrong, let's say. They protect them. You are the protector of a whole generation. Our job is not, I didn't know that was going on in the church. Your kid is selling drugs, bro. The shield of God. If you are 20 years old and you see yourself as a mother of a generation, you shield. You cover. Cover doesn't mean, it doesn't mean tolerating evil. It means shielding. It means holding up. Get keep. That's right. These are the praise. What God wants to call our generation is a praise generation. And Satan is after that generation. All those who have been saying, yeah, Peter is I'm not going anywhere, okay? I'm here. So calm down. You know, I said that for the rumors outside. Yeah, now as you're going to Nigeria. Did you buy my ticket? It's like talking, man. The Lord our God will bless us. Then verse 7.
God shall bless us.
He shall bless us.
And shall fear him.
The reason why he will bless us is so that people will fear him. Thank you, ma. And he will do it. For God is able to do
just what he said he will do.
He's gonna fulfill.
He's gonna fulfill every promise to you.
Don't give up.
Don't give up on God. Cause he won't give up on
God is able to do.
God is able to do.
He's gonna fulfill.
He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, cause he won't give up on you.
Let's finish Philippians. Yeah, we will do the whole soon. Philippians. Let's just finish this now. I know it's ordination time right now. Go past this now, verse 13.
I can do all this
through Christ
who gives me strength.
14.
Yet it was good of you to share in my trouble.
4. Quickly come. It's 4. So come behind me if you will, please. So when Jesus met Paul on the way to persecute Christians, the only thing he told them is how many troubles he will go through for his name's sake. So God's commission that changes the earth is trouble. Yeah? So if you raised a pity, thank you for celebrating me and honoring the anointing on me, but I don't know if you really do until I have troubles. I don't know. Can send me 1111 and send me 11 messages of love. But Paul said, I've received a trouble or troubles. I've brought it because this is my commission. And the church he was writing to which we, upon which we will prophesy soon, the Bible says they share in his troubles. They were partakers. Do you understand that? So what is church for? Every department is sharing in troubles. Giving must be sharing in a certain trouble. It must not be to build a trouble. We're going to buy this building as church and we're going to pay the mortgage for 90 years. No, that's not trouble. The commission is the trouble. And what God is looking for in Spark Nation, seated here this morning, are people who can share of it. They give a share in the trouble. Please listen to me. They share in the trouble. They are partakers. I need the partaker. Thank you for partaking. Let me see what NKJV says quickly. Please, quickly. So when I say what is church for? People go to church and let the church know that I'm not sharing this trouble. That's why you don't retweet. I'm not going to let all this trouble thing. No, if it is a commission, not one person had come to accuse your pastor of anything. Not womanizing. Not nothing. Just looking for bits and pieces and trying to tie it in. Why? You've got to attack the trouble. But the problem you have now is you have people who, I won't give the blessing to Pastor Gifty, I'll give her a part of the trouble. I'll look at Pastor Chris and give him a part of the trouble. Give her a part of the trouble. Give her a part of the trouble. So there are 100 troubled people moving towards a destination. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. And our scripture call it distress. The call of God is a distress call. Because if the earth is not in need, there is no need to send a savior. In the heavenly realm, the family in heaven, they said, who shall I send? And everybody was crying because they were not worthy. And they said, John, don't worry. The Lamb of God has been found worthy to open the scroll. it was a distress call. Otherwise, people will not be crying. Your generation has a distress call right now. And the Bible says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. There is distress outside. Our generation is being killed and murdered by people who want to earn £2,000-£3,000 for writing notes and writing paper to destroy a whole generation. And God looks into the house this morning and says, can I find people that can share out of this trouble for me? Are you listening to me this morning? So even if you are here for the last time or the first time, I want you to know that the world is still in distress. There is still distress outside there. And as long as there is distress there, we cannot stop giving. We cannot stop praying. We cannot stop fasting. We cannot stop mobilizing. We cannot stop fighting. Why? There is still distress. So you've got to look at your leader and say, does he still have distress? Our leaders don't have distress anymore. They say, oh, people don't go on holiday here. I don't go because there's distress. Everywhere you turn in our community, it's not even for the young and old. There is distress everywhere. And God says, now when you pray more, yeah? Have you not, when Spark begins to pray, what do you see? People are dying on the street. Your prayer is reminding you that there is still distress. There is still problem in our community. And this is my trouble. That's why they trouble me. But God will trouble our troublers. So I'm just wondering if there are about 700 people in this house this afternoon who are sharers, partakers in this trouble. Shout hallelujah if you are. I don't read newspaper. I don't watch internet, whatever you guys watch. Why? Because I've realized that those who watch it will never be seen. I've got too much troubles. And constantly, the recruitment is looking for people who share part of that trouble, who sincerely from their heart know that I carry a burden. And I know that people around me may not be able to understand. Paul said, nevertheless, you have done well. So look at your neighbor and say, you are doing well. What is the world trying to tell you to do? Don't share out of that trouble. What is your business with people dying on the street? What is your own with giving? I said, that's why you won't have what to give. But God says, those who know it is beyond giving, it is sharing out of a trouble. God says, I will give you more trouble, but I will give you what it takes. You have done well. Let's finish this now.
Now you Philippians know.
Can we make this five? So there are five loaves that will share the trouble. Oh yeah.
That in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia,
what happened when
no
departed?
Church shared with me concerning giving and receiving.
Do you see what Paul said? He said, in the beginning days, NIV says, in the beginning days of your acquaintance. No, I think that will come. He said, no church shared with me on giving and receiving. They were all quiet. Read on, because we have to finish now.
NIV, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel.
You were new. You didn't know about giving and receiving. In the early days of your acquaintance with the good news. Because that's what Paul was carrying everywhere. So you may have early days of acquaintance with PT's gospel too, which is the gospel of Jesus. Finish it.
When I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving.
Except
you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica.
What did they say?
You sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account.
That's all I have to say. The account of everyone that shares the trouble has credit in it. And from this week they will begin to grow. Can I hear a better amen? God is going to increase you beyond measure. So I've got five loaves here. The trouble of Jesus was, how do I feed these 5,000? Then he found a little guy. I wonder why it's always a little guy. He found a little guy who's just left with everything they are left with and gave it. That guy shared in his trouble. And Jesus said, okay, I'm going to share this trouble. Where are the apostles? Distribute it. These partners are sharers. Why is the ordination this morning important? They become sharers of this trouble. And a time comes when a person removes the trouble from their head and says, I can't keep giving. Thank you, guys. I can't keep giving. I remove the burden. You don't need to show it. You just need to think and say it. And God says, okay, give me back my trouble. I'll go look for someone else. The person forgets that the only reason for their increase is God's trouble. God, use me to solve your problem. So, either your problem is in London, in Woolwich, or in Greenwich, or is in Ghana, in Accra, or Kumasi. Wherever your trouble is, I don't want to go anywhere in the world to solve my trouble. Send me wherever you have trouble. Use me, Lord. You're very correct. On that note, we'll begin to invite those who are to be ordained today.